Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and today we'll be meeting Zhe Wei, CEO of Penguin Guide. It has over 500,000 followers on WeChat, which is China's largest and biggest social media platform. We're going to be teaching you some of the key practices he's learned over the years, kind of understanding your core customer, and most importantly, how you change your consumers from educating them into buyers. He really talks about how the business was in China for e-commerce about 5 to 10 years ago and really what it is today. So stay tuned. We've got all that wrapped up in one episode and can't wait to get this started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode. Today, I'm very fortunate. I have a good friend, an old friend, actually, Zhe Wei, joining us today. Zhe Wei is the founder and co-founder of Penguin Guide, which is a really interesting WeChat-based guide about food, wine, different beverages. And he's here today to talk to us more about this social media platform and kind of the media going on in the food and culinary world here in China. So, Zhe Wei, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Hello, everyone. I'm Zhe Wei, founder and the CEO of Penguin Guide.
Tell us a little bit more about why you started Penguin Guide and what it is.
Time goes back to 2012 when I was still in an investment company. At that moment, I feel interested into wine. To that time, I went to a lot of wine shops and I went to a lot of restaurants, but I feel very frustrated when I was there, since there were too many choices. You know the feeling that when you
as overwhelmed.
You have too many different types of bottles in front of you and you don't know what to buy. So back to that time, I think I wasted a lot of time and effort in choosing my favorite wine, that's and then, this the market here in China, there are too many people, different types of people that are doing wine business in very different ways. Some of them, they just are using the advantage of the information they're selling a lot of wine that really overpriced here. So back to that time, it's pretty hard thing to find a wine, especially for the not for the wine lovers, but for the mass consumers. In the end of 2013, I was thinking to start my own business. My previous working experiences, I was working an investment company and also I was working in a consulting company. So I do a lot of paperwork based on the PowerPoint, Excel, and do a lot of, this kind of analysis work. I want to do some real business by that time. So it's not like, paper-based stuff. I was choosing an industry to get into. So back to that time, wine is a very good choice to me, since I feel there's a gap, from my personal experience, the gap between the consumers with the supply.
For sure.
And also I feel, the internet, the e-commerce was really booming back to 2012, wine, there are not a lot of choices online for wine. So maybe online e-commerce with wine seems to be an interesting combination to get into.
That's a good choice, because right now, actually, what's booming the most is e-commerce. And if you're looking in the wine industry, it's really the e-commerce is something that's really, really important for all importers. So you were definitely ahead of the curve. And it's really funny how you switch from, again, we see that all the time, people coming from finance background and then getting into wine or food because of pure, passion. Right. So that's kind of interesting that you also fell into that entire route. And, you said something that was really interesting, because I've seen it too, is in 2012, and that's not a long time ago, it was really about, you had so many different segments in the wine industry. You had a lot of people, like you said, selling wine that they thought, okay, nobody knows this brand, so I can put whatever price I want and people are going to pay for it. And actually, even today, you get people that are out of China that think that's how China works. And I think that's a very outdated way of looking at China, because only 4 or 5 years ago, that has completely changed. What is your thought on that?
Actually, China is so huge a market. So it's like for tier one city like Shanghai, Beijing, or the tier two city like Hangzhou, Nanjing, or even tier three, tier four cities, they are totally different market.
Yeah.
You can see maybe this is still happening now, even in Hangzhou or in tier two, tier three, tier four cities. This is still happening here. But for tier one city, the consumers, they have a lot of educations, not only in wine knowledge and also in the market, they have more understanding and knowledge about wine, also the price system.
So a lot more transparency in the market now. So bring us back to 2012 when you were just starting off doing Penguin Guide and you decided to start doing a platform for consumers to really better understand what they were buying. What was your first initial kind of business plan? What was your goal?
Back to 2013, like the e-commerce is booming. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, doing e-commerce business is not a cheap business. Start from maybe 2010, you know, the traffic online seems to be very expensive to get a to get the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Like back to 2013, the average cost for a customer online, it's about 100 RMB for one customer online.
Okay, wow.
You know, for a get a paid customer online.
Yeah, that's almost $20 US for a paying customer. That's quite expensive.
It's very expensive. So for an e-commerce platform, if you want to have like 10,000, so it's a simple calculation. If you want to have like 10,000 customers online, you need to pay around like 1 million RMB to for the marketing online. So it's, and maybe only 20% of them will become the repeat paid consumers. So I don't have, so I'm thinking at different angles, you know, to get into this market. So one question to myself is that how do you differentiate yourself and how do you get new consumers? The original idea is I want to do the content by myself.
Mm.
The reasons why I want to do content, there are several reasons that why I want to do the content. The first of all is like what you said, you know, the consumers, they don't have any knowledge about wine. So they feel confused, you know, when they're facing so many choices.
Yeah.
So this is, I want to get them, I want to have some content for them, you know, a very basic introduction of wine and an easy way, not like the professional wine critics way, you know, to get them, to give them a very quick introduction about wine. So this is the first reason. And the second reason is that what we discussed, too many people, they're doing wine businesses online. So there's one important thing to build up the bridge is that you have to get a trust.
Yeah.
You know, the consumers, because they don't have any knowledge about wine. So if they buy something, they buy something really not familiar to them. So they have to trust you a lot to pay you the money to get the wine. And the third reason is it's for myself. It's because I'm not a wine pro, you know, that pro, you know. Mm. So if you select a product, you have to study a lot about the regions, about the grapes, as the you learn by yourself, and then you can translate into the consumer language to the consumers. So it's like you're doing one thing, but two things that two articles and different results can you can get for the same time, for the same action.
So that was really interesting. So you first started off really creating kind of an educational platform that you hoped would translate into people gaining trust and sales.
Yeah.
And that was actually very important because I think a lot of people in China played on the game that we are not giving you the education, but we're giving you a product. And they were playing on, we can hide information from you. And I think that yours was the complete opposite. And that's actually a really, really important point that you just mentioned there.
Because, you know, the original, the media business is 100% it's for advertisement.
Yeah.
Especially for the offline, you know, these magazines and these papers and these newspapers. You know, this is purely for advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
But for online business, it's pretty hard. You know, at the same time, there's a one thing I do believe is that you should charge the money from the ones that you create the values for.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot create a value for the same time for the suppliers as well as the consumers. For example, like if Penfold come to you, they want to put into advertisement on your platform. So you get the money from the Penfold, right? So if you do want to recommend a good Shiraz to the consumers here, you have to say a lot of good things about Penfold.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Penfold is not the best choice for a particular people. So in that way, you cannot be that independent and you cannot be that helpful to the consumers. At the same time, if you want to be that helpful to the brands, to the suppliers, the same time.
So what you're kind of trying to say, because actually it's funny because Penfolds, I think, has a big range, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think that their Chardonnays stand out as a part to their Shiraz, I think what it is, and like you said, is don't sacrifice content for quality. So, and also doing what you believe, right? That's kind of what you're going back to say is, if you think you like Penfold as a brand, but you really prefer their Chardonnay, recommending the Chardonnay over the Shiraz that they want will keep your followers happy. And that's at the end of the day. It's very difficult to get good quality followers that go with you and follow you for years to go. And that, like you just said, is you don't want to sacrifice because you got one partnership, right?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. So now I heard that you guys are at around 500,000 followers on WeChat, which is huge. It's actually very good, right? But this has been over 3-year journey. So tell me about now, if I go onto your WeChat platform, you don't only have wine anymore. You have food, you're testing street food, you're doing testing coffee, testing tea, etc. You're doing so many things. Why did your business model change and how has it changed today?
Back to 2014, during 6 months, we only do wine online.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found the bottlenecks because I do realize one thing is that even you make very easy understanding wine content, it's still very hard to attract the people if they are not into wine.
Mm.
So that's it. So because they have so many things to read, they have so many articles to for them online, you know, to kill time. So they don't have to choose a platform which only talks about wine. So to me, it's you have to, if you want to sell wine or the lifestyle of wine, you have to sell a packaged lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the same consumer, for the same group of people. Maybe they are potential customers to wine, and also they are potential customers to a lot of other stuff like mm-hmm. craft beer, like good food, like good coffee, like good tea. You know, you have to provide them a combination of different stuff, you know, so they will not feel bored. That's why we expand the segment from wine to some other stuff. Now we cover topic about, like what you said, different stuff like wine, like coffee, like craft beer, even like whiskey, sake, you know, there's a combination of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And they believe they have a same group of, you know, potential consumers here.
But what is your strongest topic? I mean, what do you think you get as many clicks and views? Is it still wine, or what is it actually that you've seen recently kind of take off with more interest?
Frankly speaking, wine is not the hottest topic, like what you can understand. But still, the restaurants, especially the street foods in different cities, we have a column talk about the, it's like foodie version of Lonely Planet.
Yeah.
So if you visit Hong Kong, if you visit Yunnan, if you visit Sichuan, we have a very local people local people recommendation.
That's awesome.
About food. So it's the most popular column here.
Nice.
And also I can feel like coffee, it's also a huge hit here.
Okay.
Since like the Starbucks, they educate local market so well that a lot of, you know, coffee lovers here. But still, the concept behind is very similar to wine. For example, they also talk about the regions. They also talk about, how to say it, the barista.
Roasting,
the roasting. Yeah, the roasters. It's very like the wineries, you know.
Yeah.
So also from different countries, like from Africa, from Indonesia, you know, from different regions, they're talking about it. So
There's so much to write when you're going to start talking about coffee, tea. I mean, anything that's craft, basically. You're right. It is very similar to wine in some ways, where it's all very artisanal. Where it grows and how it's made impacts the style, you know, the final product. So I could totally agree. Now, you use WeChat as your social media platform. For anybody that doesn't know WeChat, basically it's the most important tool of communication in China, right? It basically, you can do payment, you can do talking, video, WeChat calling. It's kind of like the merge of Facebook, it's a merge of like a lot of different social media platforms that we have back home that actually is all in one in China. So that's really cool. Tell me about why you decided to use WeChat as your platform. And if you've tried, I know you've tried like Weibo and you've tried Youku, which is a video. It's kind of like the YouTube of China. Tell me which one works the best and which one is the best one to try to target people that love food and wine.
Yeah, a very quick introduction of WeChat, you know, to us. It's like 1 billion downloads here in China. So mm-hmm. almost literally everyone with a smartphone has WeChat. every startup will have a something to do with Facebook, based on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Here, it's the same. Like every startup has to do something about WeChat. It's like the infrastructure. Facebook is the infrastructure for the Silicon Valley, and WeChat is the infrastructure for China.
Yeah.
For China startups. So WeChat is so why we do it on WeChat? It's a very good connection from the consumers with you. Mm-hmm. So you have on WeChat, you can create an account by yourself that you can publish the articles, and also you can open a store based on WeChat.
Okay.
So basically, you can do anything on WeChat, and it's a very good combination from their personal life and with you. So you can integrate all the functions together into this one app. So you can get the followers every day. Now we have like around 500,000 subscribers on our account, which means you can post an article to 500,000 people every day.
Yeah.
Which is huge. So it's like if you get a click from other place that you pay for advertisement.
Yeah.
So considering the cost for us, it's only like for one article, we only pay like 1,000 or 2,000 RMB for one good article, which is really good.
Like, and so that's almost like $200, right? US basically to get one hundreds of thousands of views.
Yes.
That's huge. I mean, great.
Yeah, that's a good connection between you and the consumers.
And so, you know, for somebody that just got into WeChat or that's looking at WeChat to use as a tool to market their wines or to market them as an importer, what are the top three things not to do?
The first thing you have to think very through is that how you want to function. If you want to do it for the marketing, if you want to have like 1,000 or 10,000 subscribers, it's pretty easy.
Mm.
But if you want to have like 100,000 or maybe more, it's really hard today to get started. Can be a good bridge or a good tool that you can maintain your current consumers.
Yeah.
So the first thing you have to think carefully, very thoroughly, is what the function you want to have.
Mm. So this, be clear about your goals, right? Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
So a lot of people like, okay, everyone is doing WeChat, so let's do one.
Right?
So this is like back to old times. Like everyone has a website for the homepage. Let's get a homepage. But it's just a waste of money. And the second thing not to do is a lot of people, they look for agencies, you know, to do the WeChat for them.
Yes, yes.
I strongly don't recommend.
Really? I'm like in shock right now because everybody I know is always, oh, we use WeChat agency for A, B, C, D. And you're the first person that says not to use it. And why? Why do you advise people not to use WeChat kind of agencies?
Because, you know, for our business, I believe the branding is the most important thing but above everything. Actually, branding is everything. You know, the each touch point between you and the consumer, it's a part of branding.
Yeah.
Like the article, the product you select, the way you sell the product, you know, everything is branding.
So you feel it's just impersonal, right? Is that why?
So that's why if you outsource, you know, the WeChat to a WeChat agency, it's pretty hard to control the quality and also make it 100% clear about your brand.
Okay.
And also the WeChat agency, they're going to pay. Sometimes they have the fake numbers for you.
Like, I see.
Like the fake followers, the fake clicks. It's pretty cheap to get the fake numbers.
Mm.
So, you know, I used to meet a lot of, you know, the importers or also some retailers. They are pretty proud that, okay, Zhiwei, we also have like 100,000 followers now on the WeChat only for 6 months. But if you really look through their data, you can see maybe 70% of them are fake.
Okay. So just be careful when you're choosing somebody to help you with the marketing that they actually know what they're doing, that they understand your brand, and that they're not trying to fool you with numbers.
Yeah. Oh. So it's very hard, but almost everyone is faking the number, more or less.
Yeah. And what's your last tip to have a successful, let's say, WeChat platform for wine brands or
to me,
beverage
it's
brands?
Like you have to have very your signature or your own style of the content, the way you do it,
consistency,
consistent. When you think through what you want to do, and also then you can design a very your own signature way of doing the WeChat.
Yeah.
So make it strange. Don't even to think about how to make it perfect, but make it different. So make it different from other people.
So they automatically know it's your style.
Yeah. So it's like you can use the videos, you can use the pictures, you can use. I saw several content, several accounts. They use 100% pictures. They don't have any word. It's very unique. So
kind of lead the way in your content, as well as making sure that you have a consistent style.
Yeah.
I can't say that. That's probably the most important thing. And there's a lot of inconsistencies within WeChat. You know, they start off really strong. They post every single day. And then a month later, they don't post anymore. And their content goes down in quality.
You don't have to post every day, actually. People don't look at your account every day, even for us.
Yeah.
Maybe they only open it maybe twice a week or even once a week.
Try to keep once to twice a week maximum. Awesome.
So you just need to maybe every post every week, one post a week, maybe four posts every month. But make this one really perfect instead of like seven average one.
That's really interesting. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Jerway, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, can you tell our guest how to contact you, how to find Penguin Guide if they're on WeChat, and a little bit of information if ever they can reach you?
On the WeChat platform, you can search like Xiu Chihe in Chinese.
My face is completely blank right now. These are all like Chinese characters, which we're gonna post probably at the bottom of this podcast.
I think you can just search Penguin Guide. You can find us.
Oh, there you go.
On the WeChat.
Much better. And through Penguin Guide, I'm sure we can find your email, so we can be able to contact you.
Yeah, sure.
Is that right? Awesome.
Sure. Just leave a message on the WeChat account, so our colleague will refer it to me, so we can find.
Great. Well, Jerway, honestly, it's such a pleasure. I've known you for a long time, and it really, you know, makes me happy to speak to you again. And I'm so happy to see how well Penguin Guide is doing. It has a huge success in China. I think it's really becoming the kind of social media platform for people that love food, love wine, and usually also for a younger demographic. So great information if you're looking to connect with some people that are between the ages, I would say, like between 25 to 30-ish. Those are probably your main target audience. And so if you need to get your brand out here and you want to partner with Penguin Guide, definitely a strong choice. They know what they're doing. And once again, thank you so much. And to everybody else, we hope to hear you and speak to you in the next episode.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.